All right, everybody. Welcome to our third episode of Another Texans Podcast. Thank you for listening again. My name is John Crumpler. I'm the lead analyst over at USA Today, and I'm joined by my co-host and Texans reporter, journalist, Patrick Storm. Pat, I'm excited we've got real Texans football to talk about.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we do. And it was fun. The hype was fun leading up to it, and I like what I saw tonight.
I think a lot of positive signs moving forward. Some structural things we were hoping to see with the first game under D'Amico Ryans. And let's kick this off by talking about CJ Stroud. Obviously, a much anticipated debut for Stroud that doesn't amount to a lot. I think he finished 2 for 4 on the night with an interception. His first drive, they converted some first downs. Storm, what were your initial thoughts on C.J. Stroud's first appearance in a Houston Texans uniform?
It wasn't anything spectacular, nothing to write home about, but we saw accurate passing on a few. We saw some not being afraid to pull the ball down and run and use his legs, which is, like we said, that was one of the knocks on him coming out of college. He was able to read the defenses, that he saw pretty well. And the safety jumped the route and beat him. He stared down the receiver a little too long. And so he's gonna learn from it. But, nothing to be concerned about. Nothing at all.
Yeah, I agree with you fully. I'm not going to make too much of it, especially with just how little field time that he had. I was a little horrified at just how much pressure he was seeing so quickly for both of his drives that he had. But at the same time, it did create a scenario, and you mentioned this already, with the mobility that looked like the athlete that we started to see towards the end of last season for Ohio State, and someone that, hey, that is not a statue in the pocket. That is someone that I think will be a positive, whether that's rolling the pocket, whether that's extending plays at the NFL level, and better things to come. Unfortunate on the pick, and I think DJ Bieniemy from ESPN, he tweeted that was the right read. Dell was coming open. Just unfortunate that he probably looked at it a little too long to clue in Jalen Mills that he was going that direction. But that's part of a young quarterback in a new system, learning to trust your eyes and at the same time learning to do that in a way that's not going to key in the defense to where you're going.
And adjusting to the speed of an NFL defense as well, right? Defensive backs in the NFL move a lot faster than they did in college. And granted, he played against some tough defenses, and we saw what he did against Georgia. But this is the NFL, and so things are going to move at a little bit quicker pace, and he's got to learn to, like you said, not stare down the receiver as much, look off the safety maybe a little bit, and trust the throw. He, like you said, DJ said it too. He made the right read. It's just that the timing was just not there.
Yeah. So, and I mean, just the speed of these secondaries. And like you said, these are guys that will punish you for those things. Mm-hmm. And it is a league that is so often defined by, seconds, even fractions of seconds on decision-making. And that's why you have the preseason. Luckily, that's why you're giving him the first team rep so that he can go ahead and see, okay, in a live game, if I hesitate, I will be punished for that. We're watching guys get open. I think we watched the offense move, and he was as out. It's so hard to draw any conclusions because we saw two series, and frankly, I would have expected to have seen a little more of them. But at the same time, I'm glad he didn't get hit anymore tonight behind that offensive line. What's funny though,
Dekula seems to not play. Yeah. Where he was, he did okay at right tackle when he was there, at least the little bit that I saw there. But man, God, I was just scared for him.
I think it'll probably be the most pressure that he sees all season in terms of just kind of like the BS nature, frankly, that first drive, a defensive tackle. I mean, and we were used to seeing it last year in live NFL games of Davis Mills, but you just know you can't evaluate quarterbacks that way when the defensive tackle's immediately in your face because the left guard was backpedaling from the onset. And I'm assuming, I think in week two, we should get some action from the starting offensive line. Do you think we'll see the full five at any point in the preseason, or do you think there'll be – I mean, obviously, Titus Howard won't be available, but do you think we see – a Shaq Mason, a Laremy Tunsil at any point in either week two or week three, just so they can get a proper evaluation and maybe build some confidence with Stroud moving forward?
Yeah, I would think so. Maybe next week we get one or two series out of them. CJ probably goes a quarter. And then week three, they probably run the full first team offense a full quarter.
Yeah, so, I mean
– or maybe even more. I don't know D'Amico's philosophy on this. He's talked about it a little bit in some interviews, and I haven't watched him yet, apparently. But it'd be interesting to see how he handles the preseason with the veterans and guys like that.
Yeah. I mean, and I understand wanting to save guys so that nobody gets hurt. These are meaningless games. But at the same time, I think during the next 2 weeks, you are going to need to roll out more of the offensive line just so that you can actually evaluate what you're watching and give CJ a chance to be successful. And I think this is a good transition point, Pat, because while I said that about CJ, Davis Mills actually looked okay tonight. I think he was the benefactor of another player who we're going to talk about next, just kind of making New England look silly. But Davis Mills had a great final stat line. I think he finished 9 of 12 for 99 yards and a touchdown. What were your thoughts on Davis Mills, who certainly made the most of his opportunity coming out as the second quarterback tonight?
Davis definitely looked like a guy going into year three that has been in the NFL for a couple of years now, was putting the ball in places that the defensive backs couldn't get to it. There was some little shaky accuracy issues right at the beginning. He had a low pass to Tank Dell. He overthrew Tank on the sideline by a little bit, not much. And then it seemed to kind of click for him, and the ball was a lot more accurate. He hit Tank Dell on a few crossing routes. And then the touchdown, the one that everyone is going to be talking about, where Tank was just absolutely insane with his concentration. Yeah, he did Tank things. But Davis put that, you know, if you go back and watch that play, and I tweeted this, Davis put that ball where only Tank could get it. And that's something, that's the sign of a competent quarterback in the NFL. If he's going to put the ball, you know, he didn't just throw it to Tank. He threw it to Tank where only Tank could go get it. So that was cool to see. And that's some positive signs coming out for your backup.
Yeah. And we talked about that this week on the podcast. For anyone listening on Twitter who's not subscribed, please give us a follow on YouTube at Another Texans Podcast, or listen on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you find your podcast. But we spoke earlier about the idea that Davis Mills is playing well this offseason, that has nothing to do with CJ Stroud. They can independently be improving and playing well in this offense. And I think it's overall a really encouraging sign that I think Houston had a guy tonight that moved the chains well, that found his playmakers. And I think he showed some of the signs that why Houston ended up drafting a quarterback second overall this past season. But overall, it was a good night from Davis. And like you said, looked like someone who's played a few years in the league, who has some of that, when we talked about that timing and just anticipation for how defenses are going to move at that level, he can process the game speed, because I think he's had a lot of opportunities through two seasons, and that was reflected tonight. So, I wanted to give Davis his flowers, but really, you already said his name six times when you were talking about Davis. Tank Dell. Tank Dell is the star of tonight. I believe, and I'll actually check this right now, that Tank finished with six catches for 54 yards and a touchdown. I mean, I'm just going to start, because I think anyone who follows me on Twitter, anyone who read five catches, 65 yards, so even better for one touchdown. Anyone who follows me knows that I was pretty critical of the Tank Dell pick at the time. This is a guy who's 5'8", 165 pounds. This is someone who I was skeptical of. How is he going to function at the NFL level when corners can get in his face? And what he showed tonight, and what I think offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick showed tonight, is, hey, they're not always going to do that. be able to do that, or we can just put them in positions where they can't do it. And when you don't touch Tank Dell, I mean, Storm, I don't know if they were trying to run the offense through him tonight or if he was just coincidentally always open, because no one in New England's defense could keep up with him. I tweeted, free release Tank Dell has come as advertised. Because if you want to give him 10 yards of separation at the line, that's fine. You're going to give Houston a first down, though, on every play that happens. And then some of the footwork that I think really characterized his draft profile to be a day two selection. We saw that on the touchdown, the way he broke down the corner before breaking towards the sideline. I mean, it was a really pretty night for Tank Dell. I would almost compare it to Damian Pierce's debut, where you watched a series or two and you said, yep, that's an NFL starter. I don't need to see you again in the preseason. Thank you very much. Let's try to win some football games with that in the regular season. What are you thinking about Tank Dell right now? Because I was just so impressed with his debut. I don't think it could have gone better.
I think it was special, man. It was cool to watch. And, you know, you mentioned the concerns about the size and stuff like that, and those were valid. 100% valid coming out of the draft, right? Like, you look at the size and expect a guy like that to not, you know, frankly, not be drafted, right? There's not many guys in the NFL that are that size that are successful. And if Slowick and staff can scheme things to, one, where he gets open like he was doing tonight, and two, where he can pick up the yards after catch, then he's going to have a very, you know, a successful year and hopefully career. And I like he didn't look like a rookie, frankly.
No.
I mean, he did not look like a rookie. He was finding space like a veteran and setting down and taking what the defense was going to give him, or he was just flat out beating them with his speed. So, and he didn't take any big hits. He was protecting himself when he was going to get hit, which is a smart thing that he's going to have to do. And so really, really enjoyed watching Tank tonight. And I can't not wait to see what else he does. You know, we may see him just a little bit more in the preseason, but I think, like you said, they kind of saw all they needed to see tonight, and they can put him on the shelf until week one.
Yeah. And I think the only argument potentially for keeping him, and I think this is a worthwhile talking point for us, is how much of a focal point do you think Tank Dell could be in this offense? Because tonight he was by far the most targeted wide receiver between Davis Mills and CJ Stroud. He was the guy that was open the most. And again, I don't know if that was just him getting open or if the play dictates going to Tank, but I mean, just, I'm going to go watch the all 22 tomorrow and I'll see what it looks like from that perspective. But on one watch through, it definitely looks like there's some plays where this is supposed to go to Tank, and also looked like some plays where Tank's just, he's beating his guy. How big of a role do you think he could play in year one, just based on what we saw tonight? And of course, Nico Collins was active, only played the first series. Robert Woods did not play tonight. So there will be some targets coming back into this offense. But what do you think Tank's role could look like now that we've gotten a taste of it in a game?
I think it could be a little bit more than what we anticipated, honestly. I wasn't expecting him to be a feature of the offense, but I feel like after tonight, seeing some of the things that we saw and like I said, he was able to create some separation and find space. I feel like that's going to be something that they're really going to want to, you know, emphasize and take advantage of. And you know, frankly, that may just help out the other receivers, you know, get more targets if defenses are going to kind of focus on Tank a little bit, which, you know, something that we weren't really expecting.
Yeah, they'll have to. I mean, and I tweeted that someone said, you think Tank Dell is wide receiver one? And I said, this is just too difficult. You're not going to see these vanilla shells once we get to live action. And you're especially not going to see them by the time you get to week four and people have tape on how you want to play on offense and how you want to attack. I do think there will be probably some growing pains at some point in the Tank Dell experience as defenses say, okay, small guy, can we get him off his marks? How can we manipulate that aspect of his game? But this is someone who's going to be a problem. That is not a gadget wide receiver that we watched tonight. That is someone who can do everything that you're asking him to do in the slot. And I was beyond impressed. And I'm so happy to be wrong. People, I know, it was unpopular to go against the Dell pick because he is a local guy from the University of Houston. And I've told guys, I'm like, hey, I would love to be wrong on Tank. If Tank is what this offense thinks he can be, then it's going to be a much better Houston Texans season because that guy is going to create some easy looks for C.J. Stroud and some easy first downs for this offense.
So definitely. And another thing, too, we didn't see – there's no way that's the full offense, right? Like, they didn't roll out the full offense tonight. And they're going to have some stuff up their sleeve to where they can utilize them in different ways that we haven't seen yet. We may not see in the preseason. So definitely something to look forward to with Tank Dell moving forward, for sure.
I mean, no, that's an important gap for everything I just said about vanilla shells. This was vanilla plays for them. I mean, we did see some motion, but I think that's just that's a basic element of this offense now, which is such a new thing for Houston fans. Last thing I want to touch on the offensive side, are you concerned about the offensive line any more than you were before, or are we still standing pat that if there's another injury, we're in real trouble?
I think it's going to depend on where the injury takes place because, right, we didn't see Laramie tonight. We didn't see Fant. We don't see Titus. We saw Juice and Kenyon for a little bit, and they looked okay. They look good. Jarrett Patterson is not playing, so we didn't get an opportunity to see him. I think for the most part, outside of the first few drives when guys like Deculus was on the interior – and then move to the outside, I feel like there were some definite concerns then. And then I felt like those guys kind of settled in and maybe some of the nerves kind of wore off, you know, their first NFL game or their first time, you know, on the field for the season. So, yes, there's some valid concerns if there is an injury, right? I mean, the depth has got to be there. But I feel like some things turned out a little bit better than I anticipated. So I'm hoping that obviously we don't want to see any injuries, right? And we hope that everybody can stay healthy for the season. And next week we get to see Fant and Laramie, and then hopefully Titus can come back week one or week two, and then we can see this full.
Was Fant at left tackle to open tonight? I thought he did play tonight, or did I?
Yeah, he played a little bit. Yeah, but we didn't see much. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wanted to see more of him. And I was hoping we would see him at right tackle. I didn't, but then obviously we don't know who we're going to see at left tackle. So it's just one of those things where tonight was one of those where obviously you're missing Titus and then you take out Laramie and Shaq Mason. We didn't see Shaq Mason. So that, you know, that's another thing. So like two solid veterans that are going to be on your offensive line. And then, you know, so it's one of those things. There's some concern.
I mean, they were missing $55 million worth of starting offensive linemen tonight. That is, I mean, so that's 12 from Shaq Mason, 18.5 from Titus. So that's 30 right there, and then 25 from Laramie Tunsil. So $55 million of APY of starting linemen for tonight when we got to see Stroud. So that's I'm wild, 'cause that's with you. Teams.
Entire offensive line.
I mean, and it's great because the other two guys are, I mean, Scruggs isn't going to be making anything his first year of a second year contract. And I'm sure King and Green's probably making 2 to 4 right now. We'll see how much the offensive line we catch next week. And let's turn our attention to the defense, which I think we're going to have more overview analysis of than we are specific guys. There might be a few players we want to touch on. Sturm, I'll just throw this one to you. Obviously, the defense allowed 3 points in the first half tonight when we were seeing meaningful contributors, and those 3 points came off of an interception that put the offense in extremely favorable territory. What are your first impressions of D'Amico Ryan's Houston Texans defense?
The swarm is real. That swarm mentality, that it's real. They were flying around. They were getting to the quarterback. There was pressure constantly. I love that on third down, we weren't afraid to blitz. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so refreshing to watch. Like, that one play alone made me smile. Like, nothing else could happen. But seeing them rush on third down, seeing Will Anderson get into the backfield and force the quarterback to step up into the pocket, and a defensive tackle being there ready for him, awesome. Couldn't have drawn it up any better. And like, you know, Will Anderson doesn't get credit for the sack, but damn it, if you go back and you watch the film and you're like, that's why they drafted the guy. It's 100% why they drafted the guy. the sacks are going to come, right? But that one's not going to show up on the box score, but he was the reason for that sack. So love it, man. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, this was a defense that I fought played angry. They played fast. They're just there. They're on the ball. I mean, like you said, it's the swarm. It's a real thing. It is how D'Amico wants his guys to play. And I think that attitude is complemented by a scheme and responsibilities that put the players in a position to do that. And it showed. I mean, I think it's over now, right? Did we end with a 20-9? Okay, so they didn't continue that. But still, that came in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was an excellent defensive performance. And I think we're starting to see some of the – I mean, it's more than just the talent available, and it's more than just the scheme. Like, there's kind of some D'Amico magic to – and I hate saying that. That sounds corny, but I'm excited about that. Even if it was against a Patriots defense, and I guess my defense against that would be, this is a group that they should have dealt with fairly reasonably well, and they did. They just took care of business tonight against Bailey Zappi and a group that wasn't going to have a chance. It'll be fun to see them against Miami next week, but for the meantime, extremely encouraged. Storm, was there any player on defense that caught your eye tonight in particular?
Henry.
Okay, we both have the same guy. Yeah. So let's just talk about him. Kick us off. Henry Toto, who, guys, if you're listening to Twitter Spaces, got to subscribe to the podcast. This is someone we took some time to talk about on Tuesday afternoon. Is a guy who had a chance to make an impact in this game, and boy, did he flash. Storm, what'd you see with Alabama rookie linebacker Henry Toto tonight?
He got into the backfield with ease on the stunts. Was very, very close to a sack, and very much like Will Anderson, forced the quarterback to step up into the pocket and into the waiting arms of Kurt Heinisch. So, I mean, and then just overall against the run, he was there. He was all over the place. He was flying. He was swarming to the ball. Just exactly what we saw in college happened again tonight. And so I feel like I can't wait to see next week. I want to see him against the Dolphins. I want to see more of him against the Dolphins.
Yeah. Would it be crazy for me to say that he played his run fits better tonight than any linebacker on the Texans last season?
Yeah. Well, no, it wouldn't be crazy. I feel like he did a really good job against the run. I feel like he did, you know, way better than I anticipated, to be honest with you.
I mean, he was consistently where he needed to be. And then he was making plays that you might not expect from that position to be bringing on the field. I mean, and I tweeted this a few months ago, or not a few months ago, probably a few weeks ago. I said, I wonder what the Henry Toto emergence, because this is someone who, I mean, the buzz has just been growing ever since he joined the team. He was drafted right after rookie minicamp. You've got Texans GM Nick Caserio unprompted on 6'10". He says, Toto, really impressed with him. He's catching on quickly to what we want to do. And it's a guy who started to shine at practice, who D'Amico's throwing compliments at, who everyone on that defense is, says, this is an impressive guy. And it's good to watch that manifest in a game. And I wonder what it does to the linebacker depth chart. What does that do to a guy like Christian Kirksey when they could save a bunch of money and bring in a potential difference maker if they wanted to go a different direction? I know they really like Kirksey as a person, as a veteran leader for this defense, so I don't know if he's going to go anywhere. But $5.2 million against salary cap is a substantial amount of money at this point in the season.
Because I think they're at just over $12 million right now, so that could push them up to $17, $18 million in available cap space. That's definitely some breathing room. And Kirksey hasn't even practiced.
No.
He's injured. He hasn't touched the practice field yet. He's just been walking around the practice field when I've been out there at camp. And I get it. You know, they like him. That's cool. Liking him does not contribute to wins on a football field. So if Henry can show next week and then in week three, hit the road, bro. Sorry, I'm surprised he made it. Honestly, I'm very surprised that Kirksey made it into camp.
I understand why he made it to camp. I think they were too shallow on paper at linebacker to cut him before camp. Because, I mean, if we just go back 2 months ago, we didn't know where Christian Harris was. We did not know what Henry Toto was going to be. But when Christian Harris is your every down linebacker and Denzel Perryman's your starting middle linebacker and it's not close, and then you throw on Blake Cashman, you throw on Toa Toa, I think that's a guy who looks a lot more expendable than he did 2 months ago. And you don't even necessarily need to spend that 5.2 million or 5. whatever it is right now. I think you could save that. And if you have any injuries midseason, it gives you some flexibility to bring someone in. It gives you some flexibility to work on contract extensions during the year if you decide you want to jump a little early at anybody. I mean, obviously the development of a young player is it's good in any case for this team, but I think this is a particularly intriguing one where there are some real benefits to him climbing the depth chart over the veteran in front of him.
100%. And what we saw out of both Harris and Perryman, those first couple of drives was promising as well. So
yes,
I mean, I would not be afraid of course it's one game, just a very small sample size, but if they can keep this up for the next few weeks, I would not be afraid to roll into the season with those three starting and then having, you know, a guy like Cashman and Garrett Wallow as your depth.
Yeah,
I really would not be afraid of that.
Yeah, I think they're in a much better spot at linebacker than we anticipated. I know we said we wanted to make this a short one tonight. Do you have any other final thoughts about this team as we close out the week one victory over the Patriots and look ahead towards the Miami game?
Man, you know, I like what I saw. I mean, we can't overreact with the Stroud stuff. You know, he was in there for two series, pressured a lot, doesn't have a starting offensive line with them. And we didn't have Damian Pierce either. No Robert Woods. So some vital pieces on the offense he didn't have. So don't overreact. You can overreact if you want, but you know, next week will be a little more of a better sample of what we're going to expect out of CJ Stroud moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Twitter, there will be some fun takes in the coming days, I'm sure. But for anyone who's seriously trying to think about this team and critically what they might look like, I'm not having any high level takeaways from CJ Stroud. Other than the athleticism thing, I do think he scooted tonight. And I was like, okay, I'm like, okay, the wheels are there. And we talked about that Ohio State offense does not do a good job at showcasing the athletes their quarterbacks are. So very encouraging moving forward. For anyone listening on Twitter, again, make sure you give us a follow on YouTube at Another Texans Podcast. That's where we're going to be taking comments from now on. We'll still probably host some live spaces in this capacity, but we're trying to move over there full time to have a permanent home for our show. If you're not following me, give me a follow at John H. Crumpler, or you can follow me at Texans Doc on Instagram. Storm, where can they find you?
At Patrick Storm HTX on Instagram and Twitter.
That's
the spots, man. That's where it's all at.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll definitely be back this week either to preview the Miami game or potentially just to recap it. We not a lot of time in between. My sister's also getting married this week, so that's going to be next week.
Awesome.
Next week. So that's going to be going to keep me a little busy. So we'll definitely be excited to talk to you guys again, and congrats on the Texans dub. Well, go Texans. We'll be talking soon.